Luke chapter 22, if you've got your Bible or device. Luke 22. My sister-in-law got a job recently at a company that makes medical devices, and it's very intricate, it's very tiny, it's very focused. Government control over it is amazing. They have to be exacting in everything that they do. And there was a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, just page after page of instruction you had to follow on each device that you're putting together. So she asked the lady that was training her, how long do you work here until you feel comfortable doing this? And without hesitation, she said, 18 months. It takes a year and a half to get used to going to work and feeling comfortable with that. I remember back when we used to go to school. And summer would be over and you'd wonder about your new classes, and especially that jump from junior high to senior high and different classrooms. I know I had nightmares into my 40s about I can't find my class and who's my teacher, I'm late for school and all that kind of. I always said, well, give me 2 weeks. Let me get 2 weeks under my belt of some new situation. I can get a rhythm about it. I can feel a little bit more comfortable with it. Competency comes when we know what to expect and trust ourselves to meet the challenge. Both of those things are important. I know what to expect now. Okay, I can do this. I trust myself that we can do this. The problem with life over the past year is we haven't had a lot we could count on. Things change dramatically and continually. A lot of the information we were getting, have been getting, is conflicting. A lot of the decisions that are being made seem counterintuitive. So here we are, constantly recalculating. We zig, life zags. We zag, the floor falls out from under us. How do we get with this thing? We've all faced the same crisis, but everybody's had an individual experience with it. I don't think I've talked to two people who had the same virus who had the same symptoms, let alone how it's affected your job, your home life, going out on Friday night. Oy. So here's the big news for today. VUCA. Have you heard of VUCA? Volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. Hallelujah. Life has been, and for the next while, is going to be VUCA. It's what you've been experiencing and what's coming down the pike. It's not like, okay, you've got a new computer program at work you need to learn. Give me 2 weeks, I'll be better at it. We're used to change. But this is change on steroids. Everybody who has had a prediction has been wrong. And nobody's sure about what comes next. So you and I, in order to live in a season of VUCA, have to be more flexible than we've ever been before. Now, you've heard me say it ad nauseum. I love a good rut. Give me my routine, tell me what day of the week, and I'll tell you what I do on that day of the week. Well, old Joel Everhart's going to have to get a little more flexible than that. Coming up, change, change, change. And even if there was no crisis, okay, just the expansion of knowledge. Go back to old stress. Go back to old events. The expansion of knowledge. 1900, knowledge doubled every 100 years. It took more than a lifetime to get from horse and buggy to a car. And then it was real gradual. There was like a car in town and everybody went over to see what it looked like. And then it went up to speeds of 25 miles an hour. You had a lifetime to get used to. We're switching. And there was a lot of overlap. 1945, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. So we got used to 55 mile an hour, and all of a sudden we're getting up off the ground. Whew, we're flying. And then the space shuttle thing starts to take place. By 1990, knowledge was doubling every 10 years. That's when they, about the time they stopped printing Encyclopedia Britannica, because you couldn't keep up with all the added volumes that they wanted to send you every year. 2020, it was at a pace of every 2 years, knowledge was doubling. Today, doubles every 13 months. IBM has predicted that soon it's going to be doubling every 12 hours. I don't know about you, but my computer updates so often now, it like restart. And then after I restart it, I got to relearn how to do what I was just doing a couple hours ago. Can you imagine? It's doubling every 12. I mean, us old people, we sit around, hey, you remember you had a phone on the wall and you had to dial the thingy? Yeah. We have no idea. I just graduated to a 2013 automobile. I'm still learning. She talks to me as we go down the highway. And I think she's going to want a new driver soon, more intelligent conversation. But wow, what's it going to be like? They tell me that children born within the last 5 years will never need to learn how to drive. They'll just get in and tell the car where they want to go. It's just changing. In all this, I've got some very good news for those who follow Jesus Christ. But you're going to have to follow very close. You're going to have to follow very close. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Oy, Lord, what a chunk of scripture. What was it like for them to digest that? What will it be like for us? Help us, Lord. Help us. Readjust us. For where we're at, we're still trying to catch up, God. And the target keeps moving. Make us fit for the time in which we live. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is the mother of all good news, bad news scenarios. Jesus begins by saying, I confer on you a kingdom. There are thrones waiting for you. You are kings and princes in the kingdom of God. You're going to sit at my table. We're going to eat together. It's awesome. You have divine authority. You're not just disciples anymore. You're not just apostles. You are kings. You are princes. Can you see the men? Their shoulders square a little bit more. They'd always been arguing about who's greatest in the kingdom. Who's going to be first? Hey, can I sit next to you? And all this kind of stuff. They're starting to arrive now. He's ready to pass out the medals, the crowns. This is good. This is what we've been waiting for, this whole discipleship gig thing. You made it, guys. Being a disciple has been very challenging. They had to leave the lives they knew. You're not going to go fishing anymore. No more tax collecting. Well, how am I going to feed the family? Well, just follow me. Storms at sea. Angry enemies trying to stone you on the side. Trials of many kinds. Sleepless nights, long days. Whew, boot camp is over. Hoorah! Boot camp! stamp is over. No more of that. I confer on you a kingdom. You've made it. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Shivers run up their spines. This is a holy moment. I confer on you a kingdom. You are those who stood by me in my trials. The kingdom is now yours. Best news ever. This is why we signed up for discipleship. This is where we wanted to go. We've been longing to hear this. We've been trying to say it to one another. We're going to rule and we're going to reign. And you keep telling us, be like children, take the last seat. And so, but now finally, we're moving to the head of the class. This is good stuff. Now in the next breath, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. When you recover, what? You mean recover from sitting at the table and had too much to eat? No. When you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Why would they need strengthened? We got thrones and such. You stood by me in my trials. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. No doubt the disciples figured we've already been through trials. You know, the storms and the feed the 5,000 and the, you know, all that. Yeah, uh-huh. The good news is you've just graduated boot camp. The bad news is you're off to war. Yeah, that was the training. The what? Yeah, that was getting you ready. The big stuff is coming now. Oh, thanks. You see, Jesus was preparing them for a season of VUCA. Volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. As an older gentleman, I can tell you, I'm often surprised at things I haven't experienced yet. I love being older in that I've been around the block a couple of times. I know how to handle a lot of things. But boy, if life doesn't always come up with something new. Well, we've never been here before. This is brand new territory. And then you remember that every 12 hours it's going to be a brand new world, all starting over again. And each day you wake up, who knows what you're going to find as you go through the day. VUCA. VUCA. Volatile. Unstable. Unpredictable. Explosive. Uncertain. Indeterminate. Lacking coordinates. Aren't we always praying for direction? Guidance, Lord, show me what to do. Indeterminate, lacking coordinates, dangerous, precarious. Good morning. Complex, intricate, puzzling, demanding concentration. My grandson has a new hobby, Monopoly. Kid's 6 years old. He knows all the rules. He knows rules I never heard of before. And so it's not like, hey, last night we went over, took a pizza. That's what you do with grandkids. You have pizza. You know, you play some fun game or something. No. No, it's getting late. I mean, it was already 7 o'clock in the evening. I'm having trouble keeping my eyes open. And we're playing Monopoly. And I mean, this kid takes it serious. He's standing on his chair with his arms up like this. You know. He called me a Monopoly jerk. I'm going to be teaching him how to wrestle soon. And, complex. I don't like complex. I like simple. I like easy. And life is going to get a little more complicated. Ambiguous. vague, unclear, uncertain. Sort of like where we're getting all this money that we're making now. And you know, a friend of mine pointed out, I said, boy, we're printing all this money. He said, oh, no, we're not even printing it anymore. It just, oh, you have money, you have money. Here, you have some more. Oh. Whew, ambiguous. And here's some more good news for the guys. Who was going to be sifting them? Who did Jesus put in charge of sifting them? Satan himself was going to do his best to destroy them. Somebody just quoted it out in the foyer this morning. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's almost biblical. It is kind of biblical. What is sifting? Sifting is knocking the chaff off of the wheat. And it's literally knocking the chaff off. First you have to knock it, and then the wind blows the chaff away, and then the wheat falls to the ground. That's the good stuff. It gets down to the heart, the core, the pure. Vuca shakes everything that can be shaken. It dislodges all unnecessary. Why is this happening? There's a lot of chaff. Would you agree with me that there's a lot of chaff in our society? There's a lot of stuff that shouldn't have been happening for a long time. It needs to get knocked loose. Even our churches, even what people who confess to be Christians, they have so much chaff on them, you couldn't tell there's any wheat in there at all. Living just like the world lives. I listened to a podcast just the other day. The name of it was, Should Pastors Stop Being Cool? And it talked about how for the last 20 years, pastors and churches just tried to be relevant. We've tried to be so much like the society so that the society feels comfortable coming to church. And the society has concluded, if you're just like us, why bother? They're looking for some little difference that makes it profitable to go down that road. If you and I are exactly alike, why don't you become like me? If 90% is the same, there has to be a distinctive to a Christian, to a church. And all that chaff has to get knocked off. And God's good at that, isn't he? I mean, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, each word was a knock. Boom, boom, boom. This is good, but there's some chaff here. Boom, boom. And he keeps working on us over and over and over again. Now, as servants of Christ, we're often looking for the green pastures and the still waters. Isn't that promised? And indeed, that is the inheritance of the people of God. But often to get to those paths of righteousness, we have to go through some valleys of VUCA, where it's unsettled and we're not sure. And that's where faith really comes in, and you got to hold on because it's a bumpy road. I like that. Where'd that smooth path go? Where do we turn back on to that? How shocked Peter and his brothers must have been to hear Jesus talk about this, especially right on the heels of, I got a throne waiting for you. You're going to eat at my table. You're now kings and princes in the kingdom of heaven. And what I want you to hear through this sermon is both are true at the same time. There is a rest for the people of God. There is going to be turmoil in the world around us. We will not find our rest trying to follow the world. We will only find our rest in Christ. And the more upheaval we get through the day, listening to the news, going through this life, hearing another edict, the more we're going to have to be driven to our knees to find our inheritance, to find our sure-footedness in Christ alone. You and I have lived through a sweet time in life where we've had kind of a dual thing going on. We've had Jesus as our Savior, and we've lived a pretty good life. No war on our shores. The economy has had some bumps, but no real, depression going on. everything's held together. That may not be true for long. Well, why even tell the disciples about the painful road ahead? For the longest time in the churches, in order to be relevant, in order to attract people, we've only been telling them the good news. The good news, the good news, the good news. Hey, we like you. Doesn't matter what you just come as you are. That's all good. And Jesus got his guys together and said, oh, man. I'm praying for you guys because, wow. Well, why? That's a downer. That's a bummer. Well, to prepare them, of course. Nothing worse than biting into a piece of chocolate thinking that you've got milk chocolate in your hand and find out it's that dark stuff that's, you know, just... Hey, you've had it happen. I know when we were kids, people would often send us the Russell Stover sampler, you know, the big one. And turn any piece over, you'll find a hole in the bottom because somebody was there before you wanted to know what it was before they put it in their mouth. And some of them are got maybe even have a bite out of them and they're back in the box again. Nope, nope, nope. There were like two pieces that were good in the whole thing, but you know, you had to go through all that to find them. We like to know what we're dealing with. And then, so the Lord said, I don't want you to be deceived here. When you wake up and it's not good, I don't want you to, well, he lied to us. He sucked us in with a crown and we're going to eat this table. What do we get? No, I want you to know that this is part of it too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you're prepared for something, it's easier to swallow. So it's time for you and I to stop trying to go back to yesterday. Yesterday. It seems so far away. No, something like that, anyway. Stop resisting the headwinds. Put on your armor. Be a big boy, be a big girl now. Be a Christian. Stop the whiny cry. It's not fair, it's not right. No, it's not. No, it's not. You ever steel yourself against the cold? You look at the weather report and then you say, oh, the wind chill factor. And so you get wrapped up. And before you open the door, you take one big breath. And then you go outside and it hits you and you're... all the way until you got the heated seats in the car. But if you don't prepare your mind, doesn't matter how many layers you put on, you open that door, it hits you. It's just worse. VUCA's here. VUCA! And so it's time for you and I to be men and women of God. Not complaining, not crying, not whining. Get ready. Step number one is to accept the fact that VUCA is here to stay for a while. So steel yourself. Don't be surprised at the next thing you hear. Yeah, okay. My faith's not in that anyway. My faith is in Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. People have been given this wonderful ability by God to adjust to the most tremendous of extremes. We probably have some folk with us, if not here in this service, by extension in our congregation, who lived through World War II. And they could tell you what that did to our society. Gas rationing and women joining the workforce and life just changed tremendously. People sacrificed for the good of the cause. It was a country at war. We didn't just send our people off to war. We were at war. And people got used to it. They went along because it was a dangerous time. People that got drafted say, what? I you want me where? when to do what. Imagine that disruption to your life. Going bankrupt. Getting diagnosed with cancer. Life changing. No, I didn't plan on this. Quite the opposite. Where'd this come from? We're given a wonderful ability to adjust. And then we add to that the fact that our God is sovereign. He knew this before it happened. Well, wait a second, Lord. I like the scripture about we're all going to be kings and princes and eat at your table. Woo-hoo! I don't claim this second paragraph. Let me tell you something about God. He scripted it all for us. He doesn't lay it out and say, okay, son or daughter, what do you like? What would you like today? Well, I'll take the throne. Yeah. No. He often answers our prayers in the strangest ways. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. The just shall live by faith. As I said earlier, you and I, we've lived in two worlds rather comfortably for the longest time. We're used to going to work and earning a paycheck, and that supplies the needs for the family. In fact, sometimes that has distracted us away from our other life, which is in Christ. We put a little bit too much into that other life, but it was stable and it was helping and so on. What happens when that paycheck isn't worth much because of hyperinflation or anything else? And then all of a sudden, how do I feed my family? Where do we go from here? What if the healthcare system falls apart? The just shall live. Peter, I've prayed for you, pal, that your faith will not fail. Faith will see you through. Faith. Faith is the key to survival, to overcoming. In order to endure these times, you've all heard that the stress levels are up, that anxiety is through the roof. Many people are suffering from heightened anxiety these days. In order to endure what other people are struggling with, what we are struggling with, we need faith. We need a new reality in the midst of all of the VUCA that's going on. I need to be better than I have been if I'm going to thrive or survive through this season. Jesus conferred on them a kingdom. Why did he do that first? Why not, you know, if I say to you, I got some good news, I got some bad news, which do you want first? For me, I always take the bad news first. Give it to me straight. Okay, then what's the good news? Jesus turned around and gave him the good news first. Hey, King's throat, yeah, shoo. Why? Why? So you can have faith. Faith already planted in you to endure what's coming ahead. So now all of a sudden, we have to not just believe as in, if they give me a test, I'll be able to fill out the doctrinal questions correctly. But now that's a different kind of a test. This is a hands-on, can you endure this? This is the survival test. Okay, now what you have learned in Sunday school, you're going to need that. Or you're not going to make it out the other end, faith intact. So believe what you hear from God. Trust and claim what you read in his scriptures. He said, guys, you are kings and princes. For the rest of your life, I want you to walk like you're a prince of God. Now, you're going to be walking into some situations where they treat you like the scum of the earth. But you remember whose you are. And you remember what's coming next. And you remember who walks with you. You will see the miraculous. But hold your head. Don't be, oh, yeah. You know what they said to me today? You know what they did the other day? You know what happened to me? No, that's walking like a loser. That's walking like you're defeated. That's not what God has programmed into you. He said that you are more than a conqueror. You now walk with God. Now, I know we think of kings as being pampered, queens as having a good day, unless ex-princesses go on Oprah and say stuff. But kings in those days, they led their armies to war. They were brave. They were valiant. You didn't get to be a king by being a wimp. You brought peace and prosperity and victory to your kingdom, and you were a greater king. But without conquest, there was no kingdom. Without a battle, there's no need for a king. Prepare to qualify for your stake in the kingdom of God. Show yourself worthy of the title and the reward. We all know we're saved by grace alone, not by works. But for the longest time, we've been taking an easy ride. Hey, just say the sinner's prayer and you're good to go. Well, you know, there's some truth to that. But if you've not been doing due diligence, you're going to be sorry. There are people, they're going off to the army. Our own Megan Quinn has made us proud. She's gone off to the Marines within the last year. Top shot in her class. Never shot a gun, never held a gun before she got to the Marines. Top shot in the class. And is the first, one of the first ones to earn her first stripe in the whole realm of recruits. But how did she do that? Every weekend, she was off and to training. Throughout the week, she had classes that she was taking. She was due diligence till she got there. But there are a lot of folk who, they've got the date coming, but they're, you know, staying up all night, they're overeating, they're not exercising at all, and then all of a sudden, they get to boot camp. We got a lot of Christians. We're getting to boot camp now, and they're not ready. It's going to be a shock to their baby Christian spirit.
Oh, but I just want the milk. I'm a king's kid. I should be treated like this, and I was expecting that. Oh,
that'll be a rude awakening. Oy. You have a new title. But you need to prepare. As I often say, you're not a victim of circumstance, you're a child of God. Noble birth, kingly birthright. Princes were expected. One day you'll be king, so you're going to be leading the army. So right now you're marching with the army. If you're going to march with the army, you better know how to swing that sword. You better get ready. You better be good to go. Don't question if you have the right stuff. I don't think I can. If the blood of Jesus Christ flows through your veins, royalty is within you. Oh, maybe you can't imagine right now. That's why Jesus said, you ever get in one of those situations where they're asking, don't worry ahead of time what you're going to, I'll speak through you. I love that because he knew people like me with my memory. Okay, Joel, when you get this, remember to say, what was the third thing again? Okay, Joel, forget it. Just open your mouth and I'll do the rest. Well, I can do that. All right. Accept your new identity. Stop rehearsing the definition of yourself that you learned or were told or accumulated through the years. You are a child of God. Able to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And if you think about it, look back over your shoulder, you've already been hit by a couple of things in your life. You said, I can't handle this. But you did. By the grace of God. And you're better for it, for having gone through it. Trust God. I can do this. Can you say that with me? I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do VUCA. Blessed are ye, get on my anchor holds. Let it blow. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Accept scriptural principles as your new owner's manual. Don't believe what you believe. Believe what it says. I am the righteousness of God. And when the devil comes by, you're not this, you're not that. I am. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I am a son. I am a daughter of God. Royal blood flows through my veins. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You can do this. By the same token, now I know I'm going to sound a little bipolar today. By the same token, obey the scriptures. Sabbath. Rest. Don't expect more out of yourself than humans are capable of. Don't think this all rests on your shoulders. It doesn't. If it's resting on your shoulders, you're going to get crushed. The whole secret is resting it on God's shoulders. Finding the place of rest. Letting your mind ease. Trusting in the Lord. You hear the bad news. You cast all your care on him because he cares for you. There will be seasons. You need your rest. You need to recuperate. You need the presence of God in your life. And let's take care of one another. Our brothers and sisters will fail us sometimes. They're still our brothers and our sisters. Please, can you recognize that? Don't stick the last sword in them. Well, let's just finish them off. Don't cut their legs out from under them. Don't stab them in the back. Go after them. And love them still. Do you have anybody in your life that's done with you? That has cursed you, that has cut you off? That's a great opportunity to love like Jesus loves. You may be done with me, but I'm not done with you. Because Christ isn't done with me. Let's take care of one another in this season. Find your rest in God. Battle in prayer until you find assurance and peace. Find rest in God. Accept that you're not alone. I think maybe I'm going to get myself a big bar of soap. And every time I hear somebody say, I don't have any friends. I'm all alone. Nobody cares. Wash their mouth out with soap. You know, the old timers, they used to say, stick out your tongue. Grandma would have a pin. Stick out your tongue. Bing. Mm. Don't say that anymore. I won't say that anymore. You cast shade on our Savior when you confess, I'm alone. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. The reason he came was so that he could experience what we go through firsthand and be a faithful and a loyal high priest. Saying you're all alone and that nobody cares is like splashing cold water on yourself before you go out into the cold. Okay, I'm going to have to face the devil today, and I'm all alone. Nobody cares. This is me. Here I come. Slather honey on me and put me out in the grizzly bear den. Shut up. You will survive. You will survive. You will thrive once more. But in times of VUCA, survival is victory. Okay, we're still alive. We're all right. We made it through this last year. That's good. Jesus told Peter, that once he made it through to turn and help his brothers. Accept the help and hope of relationship, of relationships. Some of us aren't very good at this. We're used to making our own way, taking care of ourselves, taking care of everybody else. And then when we have a need, we don't know what to do with that. Accept the help and the hope of relationships. Peter, when you've turned back, help your brothers. Be vulnerable, humble, honest. You want a good picture of emotional stability? Jesus in Gethsemane. Jesus in Gethsemane. He was so shaken, he sweat great drops of blood. He knew it was coming. What did he do with it? Didn't he ask his disciples, "Can't you pray with me an hour? Guys, I need you right now." He said it three times. "Guys, come on. I need a little help here." It was raw, exposed, honest, visibly shaken. He wasn't hiding it from anybody. And the Father sent angels to minister to him. You will never be alone. There will be moments, there will be harrowing moments, but God will always show up. And he may not show up the way you want. I was thinking deliverance and he's thinking endurance. Lord, this has to end. No, it can't just yet. Aha! But you will survive. And you will sit on a throne with me. And it's going to be great. Faith will get you from here to here. So you don't always have to be right or strong or whatever. Ever so often you can be completely broken. You can go to others that have looked to you for strength and say, "I need your help now. I can't do this on my own." God will honor that. You'll receive the help that you need. Ask for help. Accept help. Reach out. Maybe during this season when the world was pretty good and we had our faith at the same time, maybe we could get by on our own. All those poor folk who left church a long time ago because they couldn't get over this petty thing and they couldn't get past that other thing and so on. They're out there. They're all alone. They're a sheep without a flock. Meh, meh. And the wolf is coming. We need the care of the other sheep and the care of the shepherd at the same time. It's time for that. The chaff will get knocked loose. It'll go away. The pettiness and the little things. And we'll be in the foxhole together. Ask for help. Accept the help. Reach out. God will catch you.